Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing, because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O-W, double E, ooh wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how. We gonna break it down. We gonna break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what? Because I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy. AK Disco. Three times. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. Mm-hmm. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls jip-jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is...
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, good evening. This is ATACP live on Blog Talk Radio with your host, T to the A to the Z. Y'all already know me. I got on the line. My co-host, Tess, is on the line, and I'm going to call out some area codes. Y'all just say your name. 252, area code 252.
Anthony.
What's up, Anthony? 678. 678. I kind of know this number, but 678.
Yeah, it's Raymond Sanders.
And 352. 352.
Terrence Baker.
What's up? What's up? This is the ICC, y'all. Robert C. Shadow Life is supposed to come in here. He's an artist. His name is Rob C. He's supposed to be calling in too. He does comics as well. Welcome to the show, people. Welcome to the show. And it's been a minute since I talked to Terrence, so I wanna know, Terrence, what you got going on, man. I seen all the pictures when you were in Atlanta. Just tell us about that trip and what you did when you were there.
Okay, we were at the Atlanta Black Experience and Expo the last weekend of April. It's a huge, huge show at the Georgia International Convention Center. And we've ended there. It was myself, my wife, James Bethel, B Brothers was in the house. And we represented for Independence. We were the only superhero booth there. We cosplayed also. We bought Pink Hammer's new costume. We also played Black Panther and Killmonger. And it was a very, very nice event. A lot of people there. We met a lot of people. Celebrities were there, of course. You know, Bobby Brown, Bernard Stanis, and a few other people. They had some live music. So we had a great time.
That's cool. That's cool. We were on a phone call just last week, I think it was. Me and Anthony Sanders and Raymond Sanders, we were talking about fantasy comics. So, fellas, what have you been doing lately as far as, you know, some shows that y'all were in?
Well,
Go
on. Oh, well, the only thing I've done recently, I did a show at the library here in North Carolina in Kinston. The director at the library is trying to start her own kind, and so it was a small event, but you know, I tell her that whenever she does that sort of thing, to give me a call, and you know, I'll try to lend a hand and try to get her a little exposure and everything, and you know, in turn get myself some and let people know a little bit about fantasy art comics. And I'm hoping to get back to Georgia soon to start back doing shows there. And I'll be doing, me and my brother will be doing one in here, here in North Carolina in August, I believe it is. So just trying to get back in the swing of things.
And we also got another caller in, 630. Everybody welcome Robert C. Shadow Life, Rob C., his rap name, his stage name. Hey, dog, uh-huh. I ain't met you yet, but I'm giving you all kind of props here. You big step.
I'm feeling it. I appreciate it.
And he does music. He does music as well. Nice to meet you, Rob C. Can you tell us about your comic book, though? Because I got some other people that do comics, and they're part of the ICC. And I think I invited you to be a member of the ICC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I got to check it. It's most likely on there. Probably glass past it, but I'll definitely check it out.
Tell us about your comic book.
Shadow Life Comics is it's a comic book magazine. I did it in a magazine format. That's why it's a comic book magazine. So it'll be presented seasonally. So the characters all and their stories will come out seasonal. So it'll be 5 issues of Carla Reed, which is a ex-hit woman turned good. And then it'll go over to like Vampire Ver, which are vampires based on the 1800s doing slavery that helped slaves get free and became protectors of slaves back then. So some of the stories go in real heavy. Some of the characters, I try to make them as relatable to everybody else as possible so we can keep that movement going.
Man, that's a good concept. I'm tripping. Everybody else that's in the room, we got my co-host, Tess, she's in the room. And also Terrence Baker of Baker Comics, B&B Comics, and also Fantasy Art Comics, which is Anthony and Raymond Sanders. They're also in the room.
Okay, okay, that's what's up. Good to meet everybody.
Tess, you got anything
yes,
to
sir.
Say? You got anything
I,
to
you
say?
Know what?
I'm sure you got a question or three.
Oh, okay, well, that's
wait,
what I did.
Oh, wait, at least a few. Rob C., I love that
yeah.
concept of a comic magazine.
Right.
Where did that come from?
Actually, I was looking for printers, and MedCloud.com actually just prints your magazines in in any given format. So they did comic books too. So I stuck with the magazine concept because I was like, you know, I ordered a print copy and it came out pretty decent. And I stuck with the seasonal thing because I wanted it to be as far away from, like, comic magazines like Heavy Metal and all of them because they are comic book magazines as well, but they have different comics from different artists, which I hope to do soon sometime, but I wanted to start it off with my characters first and get it going. So I just, you know, did a little fishing and came up with it.
Okay,
I like it.
Speaking of magazines, Terrence got a magazine for the room, the actual room test that we're on Facebook. He got a magazine
right.
for the room. This is how big this dude is. Terrence, go on and talk about the ICC magazine.
Please.
Terrence.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead, Terrence.
I said,
no.
Go on and go on and speak about the ICC magazine.
Oh, okay. ICC magazine is a magazine that's published by Kablam or Print On Demand Company. We're on issue number 2 right now. It also comes out seasonally. We had issue number 1 premiere in January. So the February issue was dedicated to Black history and comics. We actually got permission from Marvel to use the Black Panther on the cover of that magazine. Featuring yourself and some other, you know, authors and stuff in the next upcoming magazine. We're trying to publish it 4 times a year, and
cool.
it's really great. It talks about cosplay, artist spotlight, comics, you name it.
Right.
It's a great magazine, and I got to give thanks to Pam Harrison, Winston Jordan, Bill McCormick, because those guys are the editors of it, and they just done a fantastic job. I highly recommend that book.
I want everybody to actually talk about each comic that they do, and then Tess, after they get through describing the comic and their character, then you can just go on from there and ask them questions.
Okay.
Starting with Anthony, then Raymond, then Terrence, then Rob C. He kind of explained his, and I know Rob C. is at work. So I ain't trying to get him fired.
Yeah.
But
I'm always working, man.
You can roll out anytime. I ain't trying to get you in trouble, bro. That's all.
Right.
We'll start with Anthony, then Raymond, then Terrence, and then Rob C.
Yeah.
I'm Anthony Sanders from Fantasy Art Comics, and pretty much I'm doing 2 different titles right now. I started out with Vicious Cycles. Pretty much what Vicious Cycles is I call it an introduction type comic book. And each issue is going to be a new character. And all it is it just introduces you to this a different character each time so that you can kind of see who you like the most. Like the first issue introduced Eclipse, which is a female superhero, and she's a judge by day and a sort of like an executioner by night.
I love that.
The second issue introduces this guy called the Elementus, who is he controls all the different elements of the earth. But he really doesn't want to use his abilities for anything. He just wants to wander the earth and keep to himself. But he's kind of pulled into action because it's just a villain just starts acting up around him. So it kind of pulls him in. And those two issues are out. For the third issue, I'm going to do the cover, but we're going to have another artist do the actual inside work, because I'm working on a team book called Street Sweepers right now. And the Street Sweeper is it's kind of my version of the X-Men sense. There's gonna be some stereotypes in there, but there's also gonna be some, like, for instance, I have one character who's a Chinese guy, and usually, you know, people expect the Chinese guys to be short and meek, but he's gonna be like the biggest character on the team.
Yeah, switch it up. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so and the way I try to do, even though the first two Vicious Cycles book had black characters in them, one thing that I'm trying not to do is what Marvel and DC has done over the years and make all the characters in my own complexion. So when the Street Sweepers come out, you're going to see different nationalities all across the board. The team is comprised of six different people, but you have your blacks, your whites, your Chinese, your Latinos. So we don't want to just, because, you know, one of the things that growing up I always thought was, why are there only white characters? Now, don't get me wrong, they're white, they don't need to be changed, but this is an opportunity for us to bring out other nationalities. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
So those are the books that I'm working on right now.
Awesome. Anthony, now you introduce one character per issue. Are these characters all, is it difficult to come up with a new character every time, or are they just all floating around your head right now?
They're not, because I've been drawing since I was 7 years. I've got characters that I've had for years, and the only thing I'm doing now is I'm updating them. And so I have so many characters. I could create my own universe right now with no problem.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I love your artwork, by the way.
Thank you.
I can relate to that. Those characters will be coming from birth.
Oh, yeah.
Raymond. And I also want to say Alex Fernandez is listening in to us right now. Okay, Raymond.
All right, this is Raymond Sanders, also of Fantasy Art Comics. The current title that I'm working on is actually the first title we released, and that is Fierce. And Fierce is the story of two characters. It's the story of one superhero's journey beginning and another one ending. Starts with the Crimson Stalker, who's been protecting the city of Hugo for over 25 years. But he has no powers. He's like a low-budget Batman, basically. And his body is just worn out from fighting crime for so many years. And his wife is telling him, you know, it's time to give this up, 'cause every time you come home, you've been shot, stabbed, or something. And it just so happens he meets this 15-year-old kid that's full of superpowers and super abilities, but his only interest right now is basketball and cheerleaders. So this villain shows up in book one and basically brings the two characters together, and the eventual hero, Fierce, which is Aaron, he has to use his powers to his classmates and his friends. And basically, as the series goes on, the Crimson Stalker will become his mentor and begin to train him to be his eventual replacement. But my brother Anthony, who just spoke, I don't know if you remember, but he gave me this idea of, in my original story, I was going to kill the Crimson Stalker. He was going to die. It was going to be a tragic death, and that was going to be the new hero's motivation. But my brother was like, well, why does the hero always have to die? Why can't he, you know, finish his crime-fighting career and hang it up? And so I kind of went with that, and but I want to show that, you know how an athlete, when they stay too long and they think they can still do it, and they really don't want to give it up? Well, that's kind of the Crimson Stalker story, because even after he trains fierce, he'd keep making excuses. Well, I need to go out there with you, or, you know, and his wife is like, look, you were supposed to retire, but he always has a reason that he has to go back to the costume. So, and there'll be consequences to that for him too, but, you know, also it would, you know, you'll see how the story go along as it plays out.
I love that. That's digging into the psyche of a superhero and what drives him.
Yeah. Retirement plan and benefits.
And with Fierce, you know, being a new hero, you know, like I said, he's a 15-year-old kid, so he won't have the same motivation. It's like, you know, I'm a star basketball player. You know, people already like me. Why do I have to go dress up in this costume to get attention? So his motivation will change as the series goes on, of course.
Yeah, that's real cool. Humble. Why do I have to dress up?
Yeah.
Well, I can
just
be Jordan.
I can totally see it.
Yeah. That's
kid with attitude. Going, just let me bounce the ball.
Yeah, I just want to be Jordan. Why I got to be Superman? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, especially with social media and all that, it's like, you know, everybody already know me.
But, hey, that's true.
I love it.
So.
But I love the humbleness behind it. So.
Terrence, it's on you, Terrence.
Okay, well, wow, there's just not enough time in the day. I mean, I'm working on so many titles, literally. right now, I'm currently working on four titles. First one being I've got Anthony Peterson's Pencil Man. It's a standalone issue called Family Awakening. It's going to be a black and white interior issue. We're about done with that. Anthony gave me the story, and I'm doing the artwork and the letters. That's one. The second one is Body Jumpers with Alex Fernandez and Michael Armstrong doing the color. That's called Invasion, Body Jumpers, issue number 4. Always got the pink camera in the background. We just completed the Mont Boer from Dragon Pit Entertainment did a standalone issue called Clash of Metal. That's available now. Pink camera number 3 is in the works as well, but that's like after I get everybody else's books out of the way. And, of course, I'm working on with my B-brother, James Bethel, the Consortium, issue number 2. Which is a combination of his characters and mine. So, like I said, there's just not enough time in the day.
Wow.
That was
nice.
Tell me about Family Awakenings.
Family Awakening is the story of Anthony Peterson's Pencil Man and long-lost brother, Chris Peterson. As most of you know, Anthony lost his real-life brother, Chris, I think it was earlier this year, late last year, so he wanted to dedicate a book to him. So he came up with a story for Super Chris, which he provided to me a few months ago. He commissioned me to do it, and I'm happy to do that for him because it's in honor of his brother who has since passed away, and he made him a superhero in this book.
Man, that is awesome.
And it's how it's how his family discovers him. You know, he's like the long-lost brother. He comes back into the arena of the family, but, you know, he's a superhero as well. So we're just about done with that book. I should have it wrapped up by the end of this month, and then Anthony will send it off for publication.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm a fan already, and I'm sitting back listening.
Yeah, same here.
Rob C., describe your characters, too, as well.
I already did. No, I'm just kidding.
Apparently, we were not paying attention. All right.
No, we got we got Carla Reed, which is the first issues that are now. I think she got 4.5 issues. She's an ex-hit woman turned good. She actually grew up with a rare cancer when she was younger, and her dad and some scientists invented this super steroid to, like, cure it, and it ended up turning her into something totally different. So her father couldn't pay for the drug, and he ended up doing secret hits because he's ex-military, ex-Marine. He started doing these hits to pay for her drugs. He kind of takes some, she takes some, and the whole family's crazy now. So she kind of comes to her senses and realizes that he tricked her into working for him, doing the hits, not for the government, but for him and a couple of high rollers around the world. And she dedicates the rest of her life trying to get all that back. So that's Carla Reed, the first issue, 1-4, I think. And then we have Vampire Ver, which is what I was talking about before with the vampires from the 1800s who sworn to protect and help slaves and all human races. So they actually come back. Even with these characters, everybody's coming in different shades, different. They're going to touch on different cultures because they're going to go around the world fighting. So we can keep that culture thing like all together and not just divided. I don't want to just focus on, oh, yeah, it's the black market now, so everybody get a black superhero out. Get a black superhero out. So we want to just touch on those. And then we have Michael Jason Kane, which is actually a young kid that was a drug dealer who got shot down before his time. He kind of semi-dies between life, and he's granted another chance to help start saving souls. So what he does is become a Grand Reaper, who we think is one Grand Reaper, but it's like thousands of Grand, everybody's assigned a Grand Reaper like they assigned a guardian angel. So he becomes this Grand Reaper that tries to figure out who's stealing these souls and basically becomes a superhero of your soul. He's actually saving your soul. So he's on the other end fighting for us, but we don't know. So a couple of characters in this comic end up seeing them. They kind of get worked into the story to where they're, you know, trying to help him on this side, and he's going back and forth. So it's the in-between world and the real world that he's fighting against.
Cool.
Man, that's deep.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I also got in on the line, 347. Introduce yourself, sir, even though I already mentioned your name already.
I'm Alex Fernandez from Brooklyn.
Thank you, Alex. he was listening on the line. Alex, explain what you do in this genre. I know, look, man, don't take all the time. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. Don't take all the time.
You got the characters, man. I don't do much, man. I just do films. I tell stories. That's all I do. Long story short, that's basically what I do, is just tell stories. I have a few little shows, and I have some comic books, thanks to the great people at ICC, like Terrence Baker, DeMar Board, Winston Jordan, Michael Armstrong. All those guys helped me get my books, bring them to life and stuff.
And what's the name of your shows, Alex Fernandez? I'm not saying it with a lot of bass right now.
Well, I heard one brother say, you know, get your black superheroes out. Well, I got one. but I had her for 6 years already. She's not new. So I have a show called Body Jumpers.
Yeah.
Which I just rebooted last year, a year and a half ago. Now it's called Body Jumpers of Resurrection. It's a sci-fi show about an African-American female hacker who finds a power suit and uses it to become a hero to the city. And then I have a vampire show called Alex Fernandez's Dawn about a vampire who works for God. And then I created a little show a few months ago called Silent Stories, which is an homage to, like, old films from the 1920s and 30s, you know, silent and black and white film noir. So it's just short little stories. They're not connected, but they're all, you know, it's just a visual story. It's complete, no dialogue. It's just silent.
Tess, I know you got a question for Alex.
Yes. Oh, of course. Alex, good to talk to you again.
Same here. Always good to talk to you guys.
I have to tell you that your silent stories really, really grabbed my attention. I love silent movies because I think there's a dimension in telling a story visually in a silent movie that you really can't – well, you can, but it's the visual becomes more important when there aren't words. And
right.
I love those stories. The Soulmates, oh, man.
Right.
Yeah, I
was thinking so much. I should have been expecting that twist ending. I really should have, because I know your stuff. But
I'm mad about that too. I'm mad about that too. I got a bone to pick with you. I'm glad Tess brought it up. I looked at it. I was like, this is it? Oh my God. I almost threw my computer on the floor.
So I'm going to check it out, man.
Definitely check it out.
So now I know what to expect. I don't expect to be mad too, huh?
Yeah, you're going to be mad. I was mad. I loved Victoria and the other young lady that you had in there, and I was like,
Emily.
Oh, yeah. Man, this is cool. And what?
That was me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody who watches it the same thing says, "Oh, I loved it." But the end, oh my God, I didn't see the end coming, which is good. I mean, that's what I always hope.
Absolutely.
When I put a story together. Is.
Yep.
But
I
actually enjoy silent stories myself too, because it's, I don't know, I just enjoy it. I love the old music, the whole thing. I really enjoy it.
It shows. That's an awesome series.
I got a question for the group. Being that we all create, because of course I write and I create too as well, I want to know, do any of you guys, because you guys motivate me, and I don't know if y'all ever get it, do you ever have time where you can't create anything? Writer's block? Do anybody ever have writer's block in this group? And we'll go down the line to keep it orderly. With Anthony, then Raymond, then Terrence, then Rob, and then Alex. Do y'all ever get writer's block?
I always get writer's block because I'm not a actual writer. Even though each book that I put out, I do write them. That's not really my forte. I'd rather honestly just do the artwork. And I have ideas for stories, but as far as actually putting the words out there and putting it on paper, even though I did, I have blocks all the time.
And for me, kind of the same thing. I'm not really a writer, but kind of wrote the first stories because I pretty much had to. But then Gabriel Smith came aboard, and I kind of shifted the writing duties of Fierce over to him, because being an artist, you want to jump to the action and everything. But I know when we talked last time, and Terrence was on the line, I was talking about having an artist block, where sometimes you want to draw and seem like nothing comes out right.
That too.
You know how it is. All of us have, families and jobs that we have to do, and it's like, as soon as you got to go to work, you got all the ideas in the world, but as soon as you get home and got some free time, you can't think of nothing. So. Terrence told me about YouTube video he made that, I watched and kind of helped out with that. So, but yeah, every once in a while I get kind of stuck on something.
Terrence.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right, yep. I got a question for Terrence. When will this link go live, tomorrow or the next day, before I answer?
Sir, we live right now.
Okay, but I mean, when are you going to post the link? And then I'm going to answer.
Well, the link automatically posts like a half hour after the show.
After the show is finished.
Okay,
yeah.
So here is my answer. I have never had artist block or writer's block, and I never will. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to post the link. I did a YouTube video, like he said, how to defeat artists and writer's block. You don't have time for that. And once you see my video, it explains perfectly well why. I will never have it, and I never will. I'm telling you now, that video nails it on the head, so I will post that once I get back on the computer to this link, okay?
Cool.
Awesome.
I can't wait.
There we go.
Rob C.
Well, my block, I don't think I have any blocks. I think I have over creativity going on by me being a hip hop artist, a writer, and a comic book artist.
So the story part sometimes takes, you know, it takes a different direction. But some people read the story and be like, this should be a book and not a comic book. Or this should be a movie and not a comic book. But as we know, right now, that's where all the comic book stories are going. So my blocking, it really doesn't exist. It's just other ideas pop up.
Cool. Alan.
Okay, they get in the way?
Yeah, they kind of get in the way, you know, over creativity going on. So a lot of more ideas kind of just start popping up. And it's like, should I hurry up and get on this before it leaves? So and I don't think I really get to a point where I'm like, oh, okay. I can't think of anything because I'm always thinking of something.
Okay, that makes sense.
Alex?
Nope. I can't say that I get writer's block or anything like that. I usually know exactly what I want to write. I may take a while, like sometimes if I'm developing a new story or like something completely different, because when I deal with my web series, I just pick up wherever the last episode left off. So in that case, I don't have a writer's block. I just say, well, this happened, so this has to happen next. So,
mm-hmm.
But if I'm creating something new, I may get stuck on what we call, filmmakers call a MacGuffin, which is what the story is going to be about. Like Indiana Jones, the MacGuffin is the arc. So once I think of what that is, then I know I'll just write my whole story about that. But sometimes it takes me a while to come up with the MacGuffin.
See, there you go. That's what I look at with what all you guys do, is that would be the hardest part for me, because I'm sure I could think up characters that would be compelling or fun or, you know, whatever. But then once you come up with a character, what do you have them do? That MacGuffin would be
right.
my undoing.
Well, I mean, when I'm first coming up with them, the thing is with me, I see them in my head. So when I first coming up, I just see a bunch of people just standing there with their arms crossed, looking at each other, waiting for me to tell them what to do. That's the way I see it in my head. And then once I start coming up with situations, then everything just starts falling into place.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Once I start writing or I start drawing, everything else falls in place.
Uh-huh.
Especially if the story is just...
And it's easy. I just wanted to say it's easy for people that got 35 different subjects going on, because all y'all, ain't one person on here got one comic book, and that's it. That's all they do. Ain't nobody over here do that, including myself, because I do music and I do comic books too, and I write novels. So all that, I mean, I do a radio show. So like I said, nobody in here got one simple thing they do. Well, I do the cookie book writer's block.
I think you know that's boredom with one thing going.
Yeah, I
know. Anthony, you'd mentioned that the drawing, and I know Raymond said this too, that the drawing is kind of what drives you and what you like to do. Ever thought of having somebody else help you with the actual story writing?
I know I'm going to get to that point. It's just, for instance, with the Vicious Cycle, seeing as how I've already done a couple of issues, like I said, with the third issue, a different artist and writer is doing that. But then once I got to start speaking, since it's the first issue, I've got to kick it off. You know, it's like...
Mm-hmm.
It just popped in my head. The name of the team popped in my head. The characters started popping up. So it's like I've got to put my vision out there first so that people can see where I'm going with it. And then, you know, then possibly someone side of it. And I would like to continue the artwork on it, because one of the reasons why I pulled away from the next issue of Vicious Cycle is that I one character, so this way I can draw a lot of different characters in one book. So at some point someone else will probably do the writing for it, and then I can just be free to do the artwork for it.
Think you'll like that, or is that going to be uncomfortable?
I think it'll be fine. Like I said, with the first few issues, they, you know, they can, like I said, get a feel for where I'm trying to go with the characters, their personalities, mm-hmm. and everything. And then I'm sure that whoever writes the book after that will be fine. And then I can really just flow on the artwork and the ink work and things of that sort. And, of course, I can always add my two cents in on the writing and say, hey, let's tweak this, or, hey, I like your idea, let's go with that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's kind of what happened with me with the Fear series. The original series started back in 2008 and mm-hmm. did a total of 7 Fears books. And I'm very proud of the work still to this day, but I knew that the story needed better writing. And I've kind of met my friend Gabriel Smith along the way, and he's also an artist, but, you know, he's also a great writer. And basically he took the story I wrote and just, like, he was pointing out things that I never even thought about in the story. I'm like, how did you get that out of that? And, you know, it's like he cares about the characters just as much as I did. And, you know, like Anthony said, you know, we kind of went back and forth. We took probably 5 years to totally revamp the Fear story before we released it, characters and all. And I think having a good writer made me a better artist because, like I said earlier, I would skip certain parts of the story because I just want to draw the action. But
sure.
You know, when you have a writer and it's like, okay, I can't skip over this part where they're just sitting at school talking or whatever, like, I got to draw this out and make it where people can understand what's going on. And now drawing simple scenes like that has become fun to me, so... I think having a good writer makes for a better overall story and makes the artist best.
That's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
Now, I got a question for everybody again. Do you ever see the day, and I guess coming from everybody that's seen Avengers in here, so do you ever see the day where you might have to depart from one of your characters? You have to kill them off? I know everybody like looking like, heck no, but I'm just saying. I know this is radio, but I can
like
see.
Crimson Stalker's going to have to die.
So do you ever see the day where one of your main characters are going to have to die, and is it going to be just like a real death, like you lost part of yourself within that character? You can start Anthony, then Raymond, then Terrence, then Rob C., and then Alex.
You know, the character Eclipse in the first issue of Vicious Cycles that I did, he actually, and not to get too far into her story, but she's actually a character that's set up to die. The thing about certain comic books is they'll kill a character off just that same character.
Mm-hmm.
Her purpose, I put it like, she's going to die and she's going to come back, but she's not going to be the same character. So,
cool.
So she's gonna have her own. She's gonna evolve into something totally different than what she is right now. So, there's ways to keep these characters off and them not actually have to be dead. And I see that the other companies, they like to kill them off. And then later down the line, they bring them back, and they're exactly the same person that they were. And I think that when her story finally plays out, I think people will be able to appreciate that, okay, you killed her. You did bring her back, but she's not who she was before. We wasn't expecting this from her.
Right, right. Raymond.
And since I was talking about the Crimson Stalker earlier, and I'm not saying he's going to die now, but I'm going to use him as an example. Like I said, his story starts in the Fear story where he's at the end of his crime-fighting career. So if we were to kill him off in the Fear's book, well, we can still go back and tell his past stories, which is in the plans anyway. But, you know, that way the character could stay, he could stay dead, but you're still getting his stories because, like I said, when it starts, he's at the end. So, and the fans are already asking, well, how did he become this way? I want to know more about him. So, you know, that way he died, but now we're going back to his past and showing his story that takes place, like, you know, in the early 90s, well, late 80s and 90s. So even though he's gone in the current story, he would still have tons of, you know, issues that we could put out about him because he was a superhero for so long. And I think that's the way I would handle it for that character.
And mm-hmm. I thought Raymond, you was going to say something about a vengeance husband, Eric, who is dead
yeah.
at the very beginning of the comic. I mean,
yeah.
he talked about four lines and got sliced up. So I thought that's what you're going to say.
Well, I'm saving that because her story is being planned out. So, once we get ready to launch a vengeance and details on her, then you know, all of that will come out too.
Oh, that sounds good.
Interesting.
Okay, Rob, I guess we're on Terrence right now. Terrence.
Okay, the answer is no, and the reason is because with my main character, the Pink Hammer, she lost her entire family. So coincidentally, she has a purpose, which coincidentally is the title of Pink Hammer issue number 3, Purpose. And the twist and the irony of it is because she lost her whole family, it makes her all the more prevalent and relevant in the world. So I don't plan on, you know, ever killing her off. Because
right.
the title of the character is the Pink Hammer. She is the main character. And if she's gone, that particular series wouldn't exist. So I don't plan on killing her off ever.
Rob C.
Well, with Carla Reed, no, but she does have characters around her that are main characters, like her ex-boss that's going to die. For Vampire Ver, all of them already dead. It is a twist with them that somebody comes to be fully human again. So, yeah, that's how mine's working. It's probably working in reverse.
Alex.
Yeah, I ain't killing nobody. Well, hey, at least Dawn, she's already dead. She's a vampire.
Right.
But
now
I don't plan to kill any of my main characters. I mean,
if I was to kill
a character, main character, I would do it, and they would like stay dead. That's why I won't do it until I'm sure. Until I know, like, I that character ran its course, or that is necessary for the story, for that character's arc. I wouldn't kill him. I don't like when people kill characters and then bring them back. It's like you invest all this stuff, you know, you invest all these emotions, the character's dead, and then, you know, 2 months later, 3 months later, they're back. Yeah, so I'm hoping if Avengers doesn't do that, I hope next movie everybody doesn't just come back.
Right. I'm writing a soap opera, and there are people that die, and that's it. Because it ain't no superhero story. So when people say their last breaths and goodbyes and people weeping, it's over. In my story. I want everybody to give out their information because we got 10 minutes. Give out your information on where you can be reached. People can buy, look, and see your work. Starting with Anthony, Raymond, Terrence, Rob C., and then Alex.
Fine.
breaking up, Anthony. You breaking up. Hello? Is Anthony there?
Uh-oh, connections are falling.
Okay.
You know, Anthony is part of, you know, that's my brother. He's part of the group, so I can kind of give you all our information. But you can reach us at, you know, on Facebook, Fantasy Art Comics, Instagram, Fantasy Art Studios. The www Fantasy Art Comics website is in the process of being rebuilt right now. You know, actually, we have a Fantasy Art fantasyartcomics.blogspot that you can reach us on too. So we're all on social media. Just look us up and you know, just hit us up. Let us know what you need, and we'll get it to you. Books, posters, whatever.
Okay.
Also, Rob C, go on and give your information too, bro. I don't want you to. I know they looking at you crazy at work, so go on.
Yeah, I work outside, so you already know. I had to mute y'all a couple of times. I was like, they're gonna hear the Windy City. Everybody was out. But yeah, Shadow Life Comics is there with also. You can find us on Instagram. Med Cloud actually carries the comic book magazine, so it's distributed through them. So you can go on Med Cloud and just put in Shadow Life Comics, and it'll come up. We're working on an app for Shadow Life Comics that'll be out soon. So it'll be available on Google and Google Play Store or whatever for Apple and Android. So that's what I'm working on, so everybody can have access to it, and they don't have to just search the web all the time. They can just download the app and have, you know, everything to it. Then I got a cat that wants to do an animated movie of Carla Reed because he likes the story so much. I don't, you know, but we're working on that too. So hopefully we can get that out either this fall or the beginning of next year. So we're working on some stuff. I'm trying to get my weight up with the comics.
Cool. Terrence. Your information.
Yes, sir. Okay, you can find me on all the following links. Comics and everything is at BakerComics1.com. The ICC magazine can be found at both the Facebook and the website of the same name, IndependentCreatorsConnection.com. And Baker Studios and all of the other stuff I do, photography, is going to be at OneCoolStudio.com. And each one of those websites and links houses the other, so you can find them. They're interchangeable.
Okay. Terrence, that one, is that the number one or the word one?
The word one, onecoolstudio.com.
Okay, great.
Alex Fernandez.
Yeah.
Your information, sir.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's at 10F Studios. And then the shows are, you can find them at youtube.com/thebodyjumpers for Body Jumpers. For on that Body Jumpers channel, actually, you can watch also Silent Stories. And then for Dawn, it's youtube.com/AlexFernandez'sDawn, the series. And then that's about it. On Facebook, you can find us at Body Jumpers and, you know, Dawn the Series. If you want my personal page, you can just look me up. It's Director Alex Fernandez. And that's it. That's all I have. And you can also catch my shows on Spark TV. If you go to Spark TV, they carry everything. They have Body Jumpers. They have Dawn. They have Silent Stories. They have the short film I did called Sarah. Yep.
Well, I wanna say it's always good to get with you guys once a year. You know, if we don't get together physically, it's good to get on the show and be on the same line, talking to each other. Because I mean, we ever since we done the first show, we at least have you guys in here once a year, sometimes twice, just depending on how we working it. But I appreciate all you guys work, and I'm a fan big time of everyone here.
Feelings mutual, Taz.
All right. Likewise.
Same here, brother.
Rob C., I will get you back in so we can highlight your music the next time. And I want to thank I want to thank my lovely co-host Tess for coming in because she she loves you guys too.
Thank you, Tess.
I do.
Thank you.
I love talking to you guys. You fascinate me with what you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, then. I'm gonna end this show with one of my favorite rappers. His name is Ball Greasy. I don't know if y'all familiar with it, but his name is Ball Greasy. That's the name of the dude.
He sound like he's from the South.
I don't know where he's from, but his music doesn't sound the same. His music is more soulful, but he talk a lot of cash money. So this is Ball Greasy. Until next week, until Sunday when I do my political show, I call it the phone call fist fight. I'll see y'all on Sunday. this is Ball Greasy. Do something.
Mayday. Ain't no sense playing crazy now. I waited a long time for them. We finally home.
G. Ain't no nigga like me. In the streets, keep it G. Beat that pussy down. And keep it low key. I ain't never been the type that a kiss and tell. Take you on the beach when I rent a tail. Hit it from the back, make a ponytail. Hit it like a nigga fresh out of jail. Dope boys got the best dick. Known for stepping out in the fresh shit. Neck full of jewels. Oh, cool. Eat it like breakfast. Baby, oil them ass cheeks. Wet it up and get nasty. Do whatever that you ask me. Fulfilling your fantasy life. Like,